Good morning and welcome to the Print AM, our daily morning podcast of the big news story. This is Bhadra Sinha, Associate Editor at the Print. And in today's podcast, I will throw light on the Delhi High Court judgment that ordered the release of three student leaders, Devangana Kalita, Natasha Narwal and Asif Iqbal Tanha, who are facing accusations for allegedly orchestrating last year's Northeast Delhi riots cases. More than a year after they were arrested in connection with the larger conspiracy that allegedly led to large-scale communal riots in Northeast Delhi in February 2020, Pinjra Tod activists Devangana Kalita and Natasha Narwal and Jamia Millia Islamia student Asif Iqbal Tanha were finally given bail on Tuesday. A Delhi High Court bench of Justices Siddharth Mridul and Anoop J. Bhambani wrote three separate judgments but gave similar reasonings for enlarging the student leaders on bail. The judges gave a prima facie view that the offences under stringent anti-terror law, that is, Unlawful Activities Prevention Act or UPA, were not made out against the three, therefore entitling them to bail under the ordinary principles of criminal law. UPA is a special act involving cases of a terror act. A statutory restriction against grant of bail in the law makes it difficult for those charged under UPA offences to get bail. But if a judge takes a prima facie view and holds that the offences are not made out, then the accused stands a chance of being released. This is exactly what has happened in this case as well. However, before I explain in detail how the judges came to this conclusion, let me give a brief background about the case. The riots in the northeast area of the capital took place between 23rd and 27th of February 2020 and were allegedly triggered by a clash between the supporters of the Citizenship Amendment Act or CEA and those opposing it. The Delhi Police, the Crime Branch and the Special Cell jointly probed the 755 cases registered in connection with the riots, while 697 cases were probed by the Northeast District Police and 57 by the Crime Branch. One related to the larger conspiracy was looked into by the Special Cell. Now, in the case probed by the Special Cell, the Delhi Police named 17 persons as accused, including Kalita, Narwal and Tanha. In this FIR, the police claimed the violence that led to the death of 53 people and injured over 500 during the riots was not spontaneous but orchestrated. Various sections under Indian Penal Code are part of this FIR. Additionally, UPA sections have also been invoked. These sections are 15, 17 and 18 and all deal with terror activities. The Special Cell has already filed three charge sheets in this case, with the last one submitted before the court in February this year. Tanha was a final year student at Jamia when he was arrested in May 2020 and has been in custody since then. Both Narwal and Kalita were PhD scholars at Jawaharlal Nehru University and are closely associated with Pinjra Tod, a collective of women students and alumni of colleges from across Delhi. The two were first arrested on 23rd May over the sit-in protest at Jafarabad metro station against the car. Later, they were also arrested in connection with the UPA case. Kalita, Narwal and Tanha had approached the High Court early this year after their bail petitions were dismissed by the trial court, which held the allegations against them as prima facie true. The High Court reserved orders on the bail pleas of Kalita and Narwal on 28th April and that of Tanha on 19th March. While Kalita faced three more cases related to riots, Narwal had two more registered against her and Tanha one. Though all three got bail in the other cases, they could not be released due to the UPA charges. With today's order, the three become the first ones to get bail on merits in the UPA case. In June 2020, Jamia Millia Islamia student Sarfura Zargar was granted bail, but on humanitarian grounds since she was pregnant. While giving a prima facie opinion in favour of the three, the Delhi High Court said in its judgment that the police submissions against them were based upon inferences drawn by the prosecuting agency and not upon factual allegations. The judges commented on the police's anxiety to suppress dissent and said the probe agency had blurred the line between the constitutionally guaranteed right to protest and terrorist activity. The court also underscored that the right to protest peacefully without arms is a fundamental right under the Constitution. It, however, clarified that this was just a prima facie opinion and that it expected the police to marshal more evidence during the trial. The bench further noted that the two Pinjra Tod activists and the Jamia student did participate in the anti-CAA protests and that the right to protest peacefully was not outlawed nor could be termed as a terrorist act. However, whether the protests crossed the limit of what is permissible under the law and became non-peaceful was a subject matter of another FIR in which all the three are already on bail, the court said. While dealing with the stringent rigors of the UPAL law in the context of bail, the court also studied the application of law in the case. After examining the charge sheets filed, the court held there was nothing to show that the three had indulged in a terrorist act or had raised funds or even conspired to commit such an act. Based on the evidence produced before it, the High Court further opined it would be a stretch to say that the protest affected the community at large for it to qualify as an act of terror. Also, there was no allegation that the arms, ammunition, and other articles that were supposedly to be used as weapons were recovered from them or at their instance. In the court's view, the police charge sheet contained no specific or definite act that could be attributed to the three to show their involvement in the acts of violence. On a reading of the charge sheets and the material included in it, the court finally concluded the allegations made against the appellants were not even borne out from the material on which they are based. The state cannot thwart grant of bail merely by confusing issues, the court remarked. Regarding allegations of inflammatory speeches, organizing of chakka jams, instigating women to protest and to stockpile various articles and other similar allegations, the court said, they at worst are evidence to show that the three participated in protests but not in an act of terror as understood in UPA. Since the acts or omissions attributed to the three did not qualify as terror, the court then went on to grant them bail under the ordinary principles of criminal law. The bench noted there were more than 700 witnesses in the case and due to COVID-19 restrictions, the trial will proceed at a slow pace. Therefore, it said the three cannot be made to languish in jail till the completion of trial. In its judgment, the court also noted that the phrase terrorist attack has been given a very wide and even somewhat vague definition under UPA. Upon careful consideration of various top court judgments related to the special law, the bench held that the intent and purpose of Parliament in enacting UPA and amending it later in 2004 and 2008 was to actually bring terrorist activities within its scope. It was and could only have been to deal with matters of profound impact on the defense of India, nothing more and nothing less. Therefore, the High Court added, the definition of terrorist act must partake of the essential character of terrorism and the phrase cannot be permitted to be applied in a cavalier manner to criminal acts or omissions that get covered under the Indian Penal Code. That's all I have for you right now. This is Bhadra Sinha bringing you this podcast, The Print AM. Do log on every morning at 8 a.m. to listen to the best news analysis from The Print. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode.